I saw this video I thought you guys might find interesting. It has to do with, that's a little later. This has to do with box office revenue for franchises.
This is adjusted for inflation, too.
Adjusted for inflation, yes. And you see over here, you have the points of billions.
So about every $100 million, basically.
Well, no, this is 0. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm lost. Million. What?
And
I'm sorry, you brought up a graph with numbers and decimals on it, and my brain went...
I think you'll understand it as it goes.
Okay.
But, so there's the Phantom Menace. So we're starting with the Star Wars franchise. This is calculating from 1999 here. And then the X-Men kicks in.
So Star Wars ends up around about, looks like $6.5 billion, $650 million. X-Men, and they all have a very similar kind of graph. It kind of shoots up and then it levels.
Well, yeah, this is for the, because obviously whenever a new movie comes out,
of course.
The franchise gets
more
Star
Wars does a huge jump, almost $1.2 billion now. Original Star Wars is at $1.09.
And we're at 2003 at this point.
Lord of the Rings, oh shit, dude.
Fast and Furious kicks in, Pirates starts up.
It's pretty neat.
Now, Lord of the Rings is way ahead now with Return of the King having come out.
We haven't even...
Oh, shit, dude. Harry Potter is getting fucking higher. Oh!
Star Wars
puts
out Revenge of the Sith, jumps on up a little bit.
Didn't like being on... like having fucking Return of the King.
Oh, Harry Potter's right there.
Harry Potter's climbing.
Goblet of Fire. X-Men's jumping up. Oh, shit. Pirates jump way the fuck up.
Pirates jumps again. Then Order of the Phoenix comes out. Puts that up a little bit.
Now, the Wizarding World is at $1.93 billion.
A new contender enters the race.
I mean, Harry Potter's way ahead now. We're $300 billion ahead.
A new contender, the MCU, now on the running with their two first films.
I'm sure the MCU is probably number one at the end of this.
You don't know. That's why it's a horse race, dude.
They put out a lot of films, though, so... I mean, Well, that's true. Star Wars, they were big hits, too, so maybe not.
That first Avengers really did the MCU a big favor.
Iron Man, too. I mean, it's getting now. They're getting pretty high up. Now they're at 2.4.
And remember, they were
billion.
The last one to join this battle. Oh, there's the poor DCEU.
Oh, well.
Marvel's almost taken the top spot at this point.
And yep, we're now number one.
We're at 2014 now. Middle Earth looks like it's got about as high as it's going to go, because I don't remember anything coming out after that.
Yeah, I think The Hobbit was the last thing that came out with them. God, now it's a fucking...
DC is such a poor beta.
Dude. Look at that.
We made a billion!
It would have been more generous to just not even include them in this.
What a bunch of betas down there.
I know,
DC,
look at them,
dude.
Oh, dude, Star Wars is neck and neck with Wizarding World. Okay, yeah, because the Fantastic Beasts movies, right.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe they actually made money on Justice League.
I mean, Star Wars has done well, but I mean, it's not even a comparable.
Look at like Disney Marvel here. Just like
reached the conclusion.
Yeah.
And now you can take a look at the whole chart there. The MCU, it's not even fucking close.
Yeah.
It's just not even close.
It almost doubles its next closest contender.
Which is Star Wars, also owned by Disney.
And very, very hot on its heels, Harry Potter's Wizarding World.
And that X-Men down there, that's also now Disney, because they bought 20th Century Fox.
That's more like $10
billion. Star Wars is Disney.
Yes.
The Marvel Comic Universe is Disney.
Right.
I don't think they yet own the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
That's Warner Brothers.
But I'm sure they have their eyes on it.
But you can see why. I mean, you can honestly see why they're trying to churn out those terrible Beast movies or whatever the fuck. Because it's like, oh, God, they just wish they could go back and remake them. As soon as it feels like they can do that, they're going to do that.
Relive the magic.
I actually think that series could benefit from having one consistent sort of vision throughout, because it was kind of haphazard.
That is true.
Yeah, we went to that Hogwarts thing, and it was pretty cool. Like, it looked like Hogwarts, except for the fact that it was covered in, like, fat, angry people.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
I didn't expect there to be so many, like, weird tourists in the Wizarding World, you know?
Oh, that section of Universal is just unusable. It's just filled with angry fucking tourists.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool to go look at and shit, but as soon as I walked in there, I wanted to walk out.
Oh, dude, it's totally congested. It's like the worst part of that park. It's like everyone's
ass
just
to ass everywhere you went.
Everyone's mad. People are pushing through this fucking hella giant lines. Crowd.
That roller coaster that was in there was pretty cool, though. The one that's off in the fucking super, Diagon Alley. Yeah, the
Gringotts Bolt Escape or whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Abigail Disney, granddaughter of Disney co-founder, attacks CEO Bob Iger's insane salary.
I mean, let's be honest.
Okay, go ahead. I think you're about to say the same thing I would say.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say, like, maybe his salary, and I don't even know what it is, but maybe his salary, whatever it is probably justified. Because maybe it would be insane if he was the CEO of any other company. But the giant factory of money-making that is Disney, he probably should be making $1 trillion a day.
They're saying he makes $65 million a year.
Oh, my God. That's like... Dude, there's that much money in the Disney fucking corporate couch. He basically gets the
That's
change.
How I feel. Like, look, I mean, like, if she was talking about a guy, because there's been CEOs like this that get huge severance packages to leave failing companies that they basically, like, if you don't do a good job and you're getting fat paid, fuck that.
You want to know what this is?
But this motherfucker's doing an insanely good job.
You want to know what this
is? Someone wants more Disney stuff.
Abigail Disney right here is salty that her family wasn't smart enough to keep control of the company in the Disney name. And wishes that we were talking about Abigail Disney's vision for Disney and not Bob Iger's. But sorry, it didn't happen. I'm sorry, dude. $65 million is an insane salary. But it's not an insane salary in the context of the giant fucking money printing factory that is Disney.
No.
$65 million is a drop in the bucket for this company. It's not like he's sucking up most of the profits of Disney and putting it in his pocket here.
All right, so let's read what she has to say. Abigail Disney, an Emmy award-winning documentarian and granddaughter of Disney co-founder Roy Disney, took to Twitter to deliver a searing assessment of chief executive Bob Iger's salary, which is reported to have increased by 80% from 2017. He's also leaving the company very soon. While lauding Mr. Iger as a brilliant leader who has most certainly deserved a bonus, she said it was insane that the head of a company earned more than 1,000 times that of the average Disney employee. There are just over 200,000 employees at Disney. If you took half that $65 million bonus, I am quite certain you could... his bonus was 65, totaling his pay to 91.
Right.
I am quite certain you could move significant resources down the line to more evenly share in the great success, she wrote.
Okay, so how much should Bob Iger make then?
I could see what she's saying because, I mean, Disney does underpay some of its employees, and there was even some controversy about how little salary, like, the park employees in particular were getting. But at the same time, I mean, this guy is the head of a company that is doing just tremendously under his leadership.
We just watched that graph.
That's why I put the graph first, because I kind of wanted to give that context of, like...
Under his leadership, that company has basically not only beaten the top... earning fucking franchise of all time, but then bought it and made that part of its own success.
I mean, here's the reality, great acquisitions. I mean, there are a bunch of lots. I mean, look, of all the streaming services, people wildly expect the Disney service to become the number one service, and with good reason. Of all the properties they own, I mean, companies like Netflix and shit. I mean, like for years, people were like, who's going to challenge Netflix? I mean, like it almost
Disney's
just
the only one that can credibly claim to really have an ability to do it now.
If I was Netflix, I'd be scared, dude. Company's on a fucking roll.
You can guarantee that they are. And here's the thing. If they do better than Netflix, then Netflix gets desperate and sells. And then Disney just swallows that, too.
It's very likely.
And if that starts happening, then it's like Amazon versus Disney, basically, when it comes to the video on demand market. And I don't know who wins that. That's like the unstoppable force versus the immovable object.
I would say in the entertainment space, it's going to be Disney. Look, Amazon Prime has pushed a bunch of series, but for the most part, no one really cares. There's a lot of Netflix series that people love. And there's a lot of Disney series and properties that people love. And if they can roll out some like Star Wars shows and other shows, they're going to get people hooked in and back into the service constantly.
They're already doing that. They're going to do Mandalorian
show. That's what I'm saying. So, like, they have it's hard to see how Disney does not get... I mean, this could overnight fucking be 20 million people sign up for the service.
Oh, trust me, dude. Everybody's acting like the Star Wars saga is coming to an end with this last one. I see it all over the place.
Disney didn't spend $4 billion for...
There is
going to
be...
It was.
infinite Star Wars movies until that graph starts going in the opposite direction. Even if they're shitty and they only climb by one little half a billion a piece, they're going to keep coming.
Yeah, they'll just lower the budget. Look, it looks like they're refocusing their efforts right now on using Star Wars to sell Disney Plus through their original Star Wars series. And honestly, that might be a better place to go with it at this point, because that's really where the money is.
Not only that, but they, like, think about this. Gone are the days of having to go down and buy an expensive box set of all of the fucking Star Wars movies.
Right.
Now they're all in one place. All chronologically available for one low price a month with every fucking Disney
film.
What
I'm really wondering
Fox
about Disney Plus is
every...
if they're going to let you watch the non-special editions, like if you can watch the original.
If they're smart, they will. If they're smart, they'll give you every fucking edition of the fucking movie that they own. But they're not smart. They're probably going to give you the theatrical editions.
Well, that's what I want. I want the re-releases. Oh, okay. Well, I want the originals, but whatever.
The theatrical re-releases.
Right.
Right.
I don't even mind the like cleaning up some special effects, but like adding whole new shit, I don't really care for that.
Some of it is hideous too.
Yeah,
the Jabba shit
was bad
at the time.
That needs to
age
go
horribly.
Away. That just needs to be not there at all.
Now, would you be supportive of Disney doing a third pass over the original trilogy?
I don't think so.
No, man.
But you know, I mean, look, if they do it. I don't really give a shit what they do as long as they offer the original version as well. Like,
version is out there and you can get it.
Right.
And if you haven't got it now, I would recommend that you do.
Right.
Because it's going to become pretty. I don't really foresee that Disney is going to have an app, right? Where you go to Star Wars and you go to
which
episode
version?
One. Or you not episode one. You go to episode four. To start the original trilogy, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to go like, do you want to see the original theatrical release? The whatever recut, the theatrical re-release, the Disney re-release. It's not. Here's why not. Because Disney is like, they're trying to sell so hard that what they've made is the new fucking Star Wars. So giving reverence to the old, what Star Wars used to be, is only done in the form of bringing those characters back and the new ones to kill off. Otherwise, we want it to be known that this is now a Disney property. So I would think that they would probably be more apt to do a third pass over these, fix up some of the shittier looking stuff, add their own little touch to it here and there, put some stupid little Pokemon-looking things running around in the background.
I really hope not.
As far as this story goes, though, I would say there's probably enough to compensate Iger and to, you know, give the employees
a little fairer
salary. It's not like Disney is struggling as a company.
Well, you know why George Lucas constantly redid those movies, don't you? It's because he even said it. He was basically, what he said was that, oh, I view this as a work of art that's never finished, like a painting that's never going to be completed. So I can go back and add some touch to it. I'm going to do it, you know.
Which, whatever. Like, I got to be honest with you. If I was in his position and somebody was trying to tell me I couldn't go back and revisit my old work and improve it in my own eyes, I'd tell them to go fuck themselves.
Right.
I don't really care that he wants to revise it. I care about having access to the original.
That's
version.
My thing too. Is like, look, I don't.
Because that's the one I love. That's
the
one
I
think is
the
best.
Impulse. And look, there's some stuff from the special editions as far as like cleaning stuff up that I think is actually okay.
It certainly didn't subtract anything.
Right. But like, you can't totally change the visual of a special effect. And like, they added this weird stupid ring to when Alderaan explodes that makes it look like a totally different special effect, and it's not good. That Jabba scene is no good. Throw in CG.
What were some of the things
shit.
That were good? I remember.
I mean, it's like real subtle stuff, like digitally remastering hairdos and shit.
Do you know what I liked in the theatrical re-releases that I thought really actually did look better than the original in some ways was the sand speeder on Tatooine or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They retouched that and made it really cool and kept the original actors in and, you know, digitally
put
them in.
Yeah, exactly.
That was cool. But as soon as they pulled into the fucking hive of scum and villainy area, there was these giant Pokemon-looking dinosaurs walking around.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh,
it's
no.
Totally, it just totally pulls
the
you
band
out because
the
special effect.
The band was, I felt like that
was
the worst.
That
dude,
was the biggest
betrayal. I love that fucking band from the original, man.
I know.
And for them to replace that with a fucking bunch of CGI
remember
aged
the fucking
so poorly.
Return of the Jedi shit where they added that CGI guy dancing around the room and it's like, no.
Yeah,
that is a fucking abomination.
So,
to the
like,
Star Wars
adding
franchise.
Whole things that weren't there before or totally replacing old things that are beloved, Don't do that.
Yeah, that's no
good.
Go
and retouch some of the lightsabers, though, and make them look more impactful.
They changed, like, some walls and stuff. It made it more interesting. Like, on Coruscant,
sure.
they did some
I think, like,
stuff.
Subtle changes.
I remember Cloud City.
Fine, but...
Cloud City was just, like, a blank... It was a white wall, and they changed that so you could see the whole...
Yeah,
clouds.
That was another good one.
I mean, there was some...
So there's a lot of stuff they did that was actually pretty good. I would say most of what they did was good when it was subtle, and it was like, okay, this doesn't distract, it just enhances. But when they did stuff that was distracting and just, like, totally replaced what was originally there, that's when I was like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Because it was never better. It was always uniformly worse. Anyway, another fucking Disney story. I do have Disney stock, by the way. I guess I might divulge that.
Oh, wow. So not only do you own Disney stock, but you're covering in positive ways Disney
yes.
stories.
Wow, TJ.
That's why I gave that disclosure.
Oh, okay. Box office
preview, Avengers Endgame preps for a record $850 million to $900 million global bow.
Makes
Disney
sense.
Shill TJ.
Yeah. Go see it, everybody. I've already got my tickets.
TJ has been purchased by Mickey, dude. Purchased by Mickey.
What is thy bidding, my master?
TJ, time to shill for Avengers Endgame.
Yes, my lord. I am seeing Avengers Endgame in IMAX tomorrow.
Wow.
At 6:30.
Hey,
so,
cool, man.
What an honor.
Yeah, I'm going to be one of the first ones to see it, you guys.
Neato petito, TJ.
And I am going to enjoy it, and I'm going to cry, and I'm going to laugh, because it's a very emotional but surprisingly funny film.
Yeah.
Anyway, the superhero tentpole could cross $1 billion in worldwide ticket sales in less than a week in release. The only game in town at the box office this weekend is Avengers Endgame, and then some. Marvel Studios and Disney superhero juggernaut is virtually assured of shattering records with a projected global launch of $850 to $900 million, if not more. That could include a potential all-time best of $270 million to $300 million in North America, where it unfurls in 4,600 theaters, the widest release ever.
Not surprising.
The big caveat is the tentpole's running time of 3 hours and 58 seconds.
What?
That
no.
means
I did not know that.
And show times.
It is 4 fucking hours long, dude?
No, 3 okay. hours and 58
I think,
seconds.
Okay, I misheard you. I think you said 3 hours and 58 minutes. I was
no.
like, "That okay, what the fuck?
3 hours and 58 seconds.
Okay, thank God.
That means a reduction. You'll wish it was longer after you see it, Scotty. What's that, Paul?
Wait a minute. It's not 3 hours and 58? Oh.
It is. Scotty thought it was 3 hours and 58 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It's 3 hours and 58
seconds.
Yeah,
that's what I was like.
It's still pretty long.
I don't know why they added the 58 seconds. It's just confusing people.
Yeah, it's stupid.
They should have just said 3 hours.
Maybe 358 has some significance in the story.
Maybe it does. An online ticket service, Fandango, says about 4,000 shows are sold out. The box office is in sore need of good news. Domestic revenue is running 17% behind the same corridor last year, although many believe Endgame could be the first of many 2019 juggernauts.
We just keep shoveling bullshit out in the streets and nobody's eating it.
Well,
what the fuck do you think is wrong?
They're going to eat this nugget of bullshit.
This actually has the potential to not be bullshit. Because the last film in this franchise was indeed, I will say, not bullshit. It was a good movie. So if this, gets 80% or 85% or even farther the way there to that, it's a good movie in my mind.
And it's really crazy because, like, the box office does not need to be down 17%. It's just they green light a lot of fucking dog shit. And, I mean, this is evident. Look, I mean, we're talking about movies crossing $1 billion in a week.
Is exciting to me. This little promotion.
But it's not a lack
shot.
Of demand. It's a lack of quality.
Yeah.
And it's all competition. If you can watch a YouTube video for free, or you can watch a shitty fucking movie, you're just gonna watch a bunch of YouTube videos, or obviously like Netflix or Amazon. Like, there's so many choices now. You don't have to put up with dog shit movies from major studios.
Yeah. Dude, this is Thanos's armor, and it looks pretty cool. Like, I haven't seen him in it yet. Have you seen pictures of him in it yet?
I believe there's out there.
I try and avoid most of this shit because I really like to go into these movies.
They
not
say
knowing.
That they say the trailers for it don't really spoil anything. They said that most of the shots from the trailer are actually within like the first 15 minutes of the movie because they didn't want to give too much away.
That's really cool. So that's cool. I was a big Thanos fan back when I was a kid in middle school. And so to see him kind of getting into that mode, like where he's going to maybe kind of look like the Thanos I remember, that's cool. This armor looks pretty neat. I'm excited for it. I'm going to wait until the furor dies down a little bit and go see it with less people in the theater.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm going to be contending with some fucking
And
bullshit.
I'm really dreaming early, of the dude. Day, and I'm sorry to say this because the theater experience, I don't want it to die, but I think this is going to happen eventually where like simultaneous release for home streaming happens.
It already happens in a limited capacity, so at some point, it's just going to be, you're going to be able to see it in theaters or on video on demand on the same day.
Yep,
theaters might become more reserved for huge.
It'll probably be
like,
more expensive. Yeah, you'll probably have to buy it for like $29 bucks or something.
You're going to have to pay definitely a premium price.
So it's like
it's gonna
two
be,
movie tickets.
It's going to be like something that's like for a very special.
But I
got to
be honest with you, for a movie like
film.
For once in a while movie like something like this, I'd pay $30 to just sit
at
home and watch it.
If it was like theaters are pretty much gone.
Right.
But like they're still around for like huge movies and they're like super premium kind of shit and experience, then yeah, I think you could do that.
Yep.
And that might be how the market evolves, or we might be totally fucking off base. Who fucking knows?
Who knows?